The opinions of the Mixed Babble podcast is the opinions of the hosts and the guests alone. We are not medical professionals. If you need medical advice, please speak with your doctor or a medical professional for guidance and treatment. Listener's discretion is advised. Explicit language and topics may be covered and used. Thank you. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Mixed Babble. My name is Joni Brown, and today I am joined with my husband,
all of the above.
I feel like all I just had like a brain fart in the middle of the introduction.
I'm here, I'm back, because I did receive my green Skittles. That is the only reason that I have returned.
Don't even play. Guys, the reason why we're here today is my husband, despite how he portrays himself, actually suggested that we record before the new year. So it is currently December 29th, and we are a couple days away from 2021. So he had the idea that we would come in here today and discuss the dreaded New Year's resolution and all the emotions that come with it.
Well, before we get to the New Year's resolution, I have some questions just about like a recap of 2020, which like I just have this feeling that 30 years from now, people are going to be like, you remember 2020? Did you survive 2020?
Like, and your answer will be no.
So I'm sure that there's someone who like has already patented or got some sort of license for the term "I survived 2020."
Yeah, I've seen it on quite a few things.
I probably should have got that. Dang! If somebody could have got that back in like March, could have made some money off of that bad boy.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to someone today, and I was talking about an old episode on it was actually a YouTube that I follow, and it was an old episode, and she was talking about, oh my gosh, you know, 2019, I can't even think, 2019, was that even a thing? 2019 was so crazy and, you know, tumultuous. I really hope 2020 is better. And I was like watching it right now. Yeah. From a year plus ago, and I'm like, girl, you have no fucking clue what is about to hit your ass.
Yeah, I do think that this is 2021 is going to be one of those years where people don't say things like that anymore. Like, oh, you know, this, I just can't wait for this year to be over because next year is my year. Yeah, you said that in 2019 and look what happened, you know.
Well, you know, I have, you know, speaking of New Year's resolutions and the end of the year and things like that, I may have talked about this in the past, but I can't remember. But I have a love-hate with New Year, end of the year, New Year, because I just think about all the people that have so much hope and aspirations for the new year, and I always for myself get a bittersweet feeling because you really don't know what that new year holds. Yeah. You know, you don't even know, like, I think about the people that pass in 2020 or 2021 to be, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, new year, I'm gonna do this and that, and then like when they pass, I'm like, you had no idea that you weren't going to make it to 2021 or you weren't going to make it out of 2021 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I have a bittersweet for some reason. I don't know where that stems from, but I always get a little sad because I'm like, I don't know what next year holds for you or for me.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be one of the things that makes 2020 special, because for a lot of people, I think this was the first year where maybe like March, April, so many different things had happened where people were probably like, am I going to make it out of this year?
Yeah.
To where usually people are, like you were saying, they're, oh, I'm going to do this
hopeful
next year. I'm
yeah.
gonna, yeah, there's so much hope and all of these things could happen. And this year was the first year that people were like, I just got to survive.
I mean, I don't think it's the first year for a lot of people, but more people were involved in that thought.
I think
people that have always struggled with survival have always had that mindset, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's
the privileged folks are probably now like, oh, shit.
And I feel you. That I think there's a bunch of other people who may not be as privileged who don't get the privilege to think that far ahead. You know what I mean?
So they've never
thought like, oh, this is, you know, a good year or this is a bad year. They think in like weeks. They think in days.
That's what I was about to say. You got people that are trying to figure out what they're going to eat tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a lot of people. You know what I mean? Because majority of, despite what, you know, social media might show you, majority of individuals in the real world are in poverty, you know?
Yeah.
Or at that survival and below line.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think it's a privilege for us, because I would say that we are privileged now. Yes, we're still minorities. Yes, we've done things to get us to where we are in our, you know, careers and whatnot. And that's not to say that, you know, we didn't work for it in any respect, but we don't struggle in, what are we going to eat tomorrow?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So that,
but it's the people that are, I guess this is a, Walking Dead reference.
Mm-hmm.
How you remember, not Walking Dead, but what's the prequel to Walking Dead that they did where they're like in California?
Fear the Walking Dead. I watched two episodes and haven't gone back.
I watched almost a whole season of that.
Fear?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I thought they did a really interesting take on that, because they had a drug addict.
Oh, yeah.
Right when everything was going down. And he, as somewhere along the lines, he said, like, this is my normal life.
Yeah,
like,
he thrived in it.
Yeah, he thrived in it because he was like, I'm used to not knowing where I'm going.
That
sleep.
Was actually, you know, genius
or
that
like
they did
being
that.
On the run and da da da. Like, I'm used to being homeless and sleeping on parks
and trying
stuff
to survive.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, just trying to survive. So he was pretty much like, welcome to the party. Like, I've been living like this for years.
Yeah.
So it is one of those things. And there's a lot of people who have been gainfully employed for years and years and years and years, you know?
Yeah.
And now?
The people that have never been able to really hold down a job or just couldn't find work, you know, homeless, or they're just kind of like, this is life for me, you know?
Exactly.
And now you're talking about you don't know where your next meal or how to pay your bills. And it changed a lot of people,
I think it's very sobering. I think that there are a lot of people who will look at the poverty line, and people who live check to check, or even better, people who live off of government assistance, a lot differently, because now you're a part of that.
No, yes, you will have that, but I will say there are still going to be. You know, it's funny. You could be in the same boat as someone and they will still find a way to look down on you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I feel that some of those people that are now in those positions will be like, they'll justify why they're in those positions. They'll say, well, you know, 2020 happened and I lost my job.
Exactly.
You're in this position because you never wanted to work. So I'm still better than you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
There's always that.
There is that. So with the new year approaching, you know, I can't help but to be somewhat hopeful, because I'm hoping that I can get my mind under control, which, as you know, the last episode, I don't even think you know what I discussed, because it was a solo episode. I talked about that, you know, I've gone back to therapy officially. It's been something I've been talking about, and I am now in it. I am about 3 or 4 sessions in, and trying to navigate the feelings and the thoughts and the overactive thinking and whatnot. So I feel that I'm happy that I took that step before the new year, because in my mind, I was going to do it once the new year starts. It's like, you know, new year, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to get this done. And, you know, as far as like going to the doctor and getting my checkups, and I'm going to do all the things I'm supposed to do that I've been putting off because of whether fear or procrastination or a combination of both. So it's funny, like I had said on a previous episode, that I just woke up that day and was like, I'm going to reach out about therapy today. I didn't overthink it. Like I've been saying it, but then I was just like, what am I waiting for? Some arbitrary, you know, date to come to do it. So I feel good about having a head start on the new year. And by the time the new year comes, I'm already going to be a handful of episodes. I'm going to be a handful of sessions in. And I could actually start to do some real work with my therapist. So
That's good. I'm really proud of you for doing that. And that's a really good New Year's resolution tip, is to start early for a couple of reasons. One, by the time the new year gets here, like you just said, you're already, like, the ball's already rolling. And secondly, especially in December, of course, most people have, you know, days off and things like that. So you have time. There's some free time for you to kind of set yourself up to where you hit the New Year's already rolling with like some steam going forward, especially if it's anything about like fitness or weight loss or health, things like that, to kind of start the ball rolling, then hit the New Year's with a bang, you know.
So a couple things with what you just said that I love that you brought up. Right before Christmas, that just happened like, what, 5 days ago or whatever, 4 days ago. I had already started like changing the way I'm eating and trying to move a little bit more, whether that's leisure walks, you know, like weightlifting, whatever, just to get my body moving and feeling like I'm actually doing something. And nothing crazy. But I remember saying to someone, I think they had like desserts or something like that. And I remember saying just casually, I was just like, oh yeah, no, I'm trying to eat better, be healthier. And they were like, right before Christmas? That should be like after Christmas. And quite a few years ago, the first time I was on one of the many fitness journeys, I had started my quote unquote diet or lifestyle change the weekend before Thanksgiving back in like 2008. Like, it was a long time ago. And I, you know, took things gradually and I started losing weight. But the whole point of the matter was I started the weekend before Thanksgiving and the weight was coming off slowly and gradually. But one point that I want to say to what you just said is there's never going to be a good time to start. There's always going to be Christmas. There's always going to be, because then what, think about it. Then I could say, okay, well now we're, Christmas is over. Okay. But now the new year. So I want to wait till after the new year. So now we've pushed it another week. It's Valentine's Day. And then it's Valentine's Day.
It's President's Day.
Why? Right. Not? It's Martin Luther King Day. Then it's our anniversary. Then it's the summer. Then it's 4th of July. Like, there's always.
Then it's Friday.
Right. St. Patrick's. There's always going to be something.
It's the weekend.
Exactly. It's a day that ends in Y. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck? So there's always going to be something, and there's always going to be some excuse.
Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of people out there struggling with getting a hold and a grip on their fitness journey.
Yeah.
And I am no professional, but the thing that I said to my therapist that is the most frustrating to me is the fact that I know exactly what I have to do. I know the exact amount I should be eating. I know what my body burns in a natural, you know, state without doing any activity.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, food calories, 3,500 calories equals a pound. Like, I know the science and I know all the like metrics of it all. Yeah. And that's why I get so down on myself, is because I'm like, girl, you know all the things you need to do to lose the weight. You've done it 4 times. Then I get even more frustrated because I've done it so many times that the up and down is just too much.
Yeah.
Like, I need, and then you got to go into maintenance and things like that. But without getting ahead of myself with that, because right now we're all struggling just to get moving. And I know a lot of people fell into whether mild depression or just being lazy and procrastinating and stagnant because of 2020. It was so easy to do nothing because the world kind of stopped, you know? But it's also important from a mental standpoint to not blame yourself, because I saw this meme that was just kind of like, you know, if you did nothing in 2020 but survive, you did enough. You disagree?
Yeah and no. I guess it really depends on like what position you're in. Before I contracted COVID, there was, I want to say, a 3-week period where my business that I run and my daytime job were out of commission, and I was just home every day for 3 weeks. It could have been those could have been 3 weeks that I just like played video games and did nothing. But I took a DJ course. I took a business course. I looked up like investing opportunities.
You did online like, DJ yeah, course.
Online DJ course. I did a what else did I just say?
You said something about a business course.
Yeah, I did a business course. I did quite a few things, but my thing is, if the world is stopped right now, right, and I'm not doing anything, I'm not working, I have to find a way to do something to kind of, you know what I mean? Find a way to get ahead a little bit. You know what I mean?
I gotta take
this time, you know, and because it was that, when was it, like March, when everything shut down? Pretty much the month of March, almost everything shut down. If you, no matter what position or job or whatever it is that you do, if you just took that entire month and you just did nothing, you didn't learn anything, you didn't pick up a new skill, you didn't like...
But the thing is,
you didn't read a book?
Nate, so this is where your privilege comes in. If in 2020 you were homeless and all you did was survive 2020, you were able to go to a shelter and get food and have a roof over your head and things like that, and the only thing you did was that... Like, that's enough.
You could say the same thing about 2019.
You
or
could say
2007. You could say the same thing about...
Yes, but about right. Forever. But this year in particular has affected a lot of people mentally in different ways that people aren't accustomed to. Even for me, as somebody that continued to work throughout the year, like... I started getting in my own head because, you know, to myself, I'm like, okay, you still have a job, you're still working, you're still able to afford your bills. and you're still depressed. Why? Like, you shouldn't be depressed. You have all these things that a lot of people don't have, and it's taking it was taken away from the validity of my feelings because other people have less, or other people are going through it more than you. You know what I mean? So I was just happy to survive and still pay my bills and do all those things. This podcast came out of 2020 for me, but what else do I really have to show for this year? Because I was thinking about the fact that I feel like I wasted my year. Because, you know, you have some people that you see on social media and they're like, you know, this was my body in February and they were overweight. And then, like, now this is my body in December and now they have 6-pack abs and this and that. And they're like, you know, I spent this time getting my body right, you know, in quarantine or whatever. You know, they went hard in the gym. So then that makes people like myself feel like, damn, bitch, like, you could have been working out since March. You know, the world shut down, so you had more than enough time because you weren't going to social events. So, but look at you. You know what I mean? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't have much to show for 2020. We didn't really travel much like we typically do. Mm-hmm. We could have saved a lot more money because we weren't doing a bunch of stuff, but we didn't, you know? So that's what I'm saying. Like, there's everyone's priorities, I guess, or hierarchy of necessities or what's important to them varies. And for us, it might be expanding our knowledge and our business, but for other people, it's just eating or staying warm when the temperatures drop below freezing right now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
So, and survival doesn't necessarily just mean physically. Like, you got to mentally survive this shit too. It's different for different people. Yeah. I mean, you got bummed when you weren't DJing regularly like you had been. Yeah. I know there's your DJ friends that have lost a lot of business and have had to pick up odd jobs to make it work.
Yeah.
Because that is their livelihood. Luckily for you, you do have a full-time job.
Yeah.
So.
But still, you know, when I look back on the year, I don't even want to think about all of the money as far as events and, you know, clubs and stuff like that shutting down. It's just like just felt like it was a whole lot of money for me left on the table. But. Like I was saying before, I feel like I took that time, even though I couldn't make money off of DJing, I took that time to become a better DJ.
And I was proud of you for doing that.
Yeah.
But those courses cost money, did they not?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. There's your privilege. Yeah. So to say, you know, take a course or do this or do that. Like, it's not that easy when people are trying to eat keep their lights on.
Yeah, well, I took the course, but there's also YouTube, which after I did the course and learned a few skills, there were some things that I felt the course didn't go into depth a lot with, like go into like real detail about it. So I just YouTube those skills. And, you know, YouTube had 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different DJs doing those skills and breaking them down.
And we can go around and around as to, you know, privilege and things like that. Yeah. That's assuming people have access to a computer and Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So moving on from from that, but that's my point. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's easy to say, well, you can get it for free on YouTube. That's assuming that they can do those things. They have a phone. They have a computer.
What I'm talking to the people who do have those. You know what I mean?
Yes, I get it.
Who do have access to those things.
Because, I mean, if you are listening to this podcast, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you have access to this podcast, that means you have the internet. So if you took that month and you did nothing, while you had access to the internet. Shame on you.
No, no. That's the whole point.
Shame.
That's the whole point. God damn it, Nate. That's the whole point. You can't shame people because, like, we're all going through some shit. It's the hierarchy of, like, what's important to them. That was important to you, and you met that expectation for yourself. So pat yourself on the back. But what if somebody's, you know, priority was just to relax and not stress out? It could be, it, to you, that's like...
So if you had all of the tools to be able to find a way to do some of the things, like, there's so many things that people talk about doing all the time, right? And they say all the time, oh, if only I had enough time. If only I had enough time, I'd do yoga. If only I had enough time, I'd get in shape. If only I had enough time, I'd do research on this. I'd do that. If you had all of the time in the world and the ability to find a way to make yourself better, and you didn't take that?
Nate, see, I feel like I'm triggered right now because I, in a sense, as a person that has all the equipment to do this podcast, mm-hmm. has all the things that I need to get episodes out, like, I went through a point over the past month or two mm-hmm. where I just mentally shut down. And that takes something out of you. I didn't have the energy just to walk into the podcast office and record. I didn't have the energy to come and pretend that everything was okay. And I, that's why I'm saying, like, you can't be down on yourself, like, because it's not as easy as just, like, you know, turning it on and off.
Okay. I get where you're going with that. I get where you're going with that. You're saying that sometimes you don't feel motivated to do things.
And it could be for many reasons.
Okay.
Not that you don't have the time in the day, but you might be depressed yeah. or just overwhelmed. I know for me, it was being overwhelmed.
Gotcha.
And the thing is, sometimes you're overwhelmed and there's literally nothing to do. Like, you're overwhelmed and you don't know why. Or you have anxiety and you don't know why. Because you can't quite pinpoint, like, where it's coming from. You just know you're overwhelmed and you shut down. And it could be a bunch of shit. Like, as I said, for many people, it's, how am I going to pay these bills?
Yeah.
And it's just these, like, random thoughts. I know for me, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm just like, why the hell am I up? But I know my anxiety is high and I don't know how to bring that back down. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but anyway, I think we went off on a tangent, but I think if you have the means, so speaking to the people that have the means and the ability to, then, yeah, do, you know, pick something that you will find actual joy out of.
Yeah. And I think you're really hard on yourself. 'Cause again, I think you're going from the aspect of, like, there's times where you don't feel like doing things, but at the end of the day, through 2020, you created this podcast. And you learned how to do all of the audio stuff. You did all of the research to be able to post it and get it out to the world. And that's, like, that's an accomplishment.
Yeah. You know, my therapist said to me today that maybe that she thinks that I'm, like, a perfectionist. And that might be my issue. But I'm just like, am I a perfectionist? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
One of the things I said in the last episode that I did on here, kind of updating everybody with where I was mentally, I talked about the fact that I am I am good at so many things. And I hate saying that because it makes me feel like I'm being like, I'm boasting and, you know, I'm so amazing. Like you guys, you know, so I hate saying that, but I do know that I am good at a lot of things. I'm good. I mentioned, you know, interior decorating and,
But in with all of those things, you're interested in it as long as you can do it perfectly. But when you don't feel like you can do it perfectly, you'd rather just not do it at all.
I don't know. I don't know if I 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
Anyways, what else do you have in reference to the New Year's resolution?
Okay, so my pointers for New Year's resolution would be first to create some checkpoints with smaller goals to keep you on focus. A lot of times people go into the new year and they make very vague goals, right? It's kind of like saying, I want to drive to San Francisco, but you know, you don't have a phone to have GPS and you don't have a map. You just kind of get on the road. So you're like, I'm on the road and I think I'm going in the direction of San Francisco, but who knows? I'm just on the road. But when you create those checkpoints.
Can I stop you right there? Okay. I have something I want to add to what you just said, but I'm going to kind of give you the thought that I'm having and I need for you to like take it from here. Do you remember the story that you told me many years ago about, was it Charles Barkley? With the increments that he was given for the weight loss. Was it Charles Barkley?
I don't know.
The 5 pounds, 5 pounds story?
Oh, yeah.
Was that him?
I think it was him.
Do you remember the story?
I don't.
Great. Well, this is awkward. So, good talk. No, but you had said that, I don't know if it was his coach or whoever it was, he had like a goal of losing like 100 pounds or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the coach would give him like, you know, this week you need to lose 5 pounds or whatever. And kept sending him back to lose 5 more pounds. Yeah. Is it coming back to you?
Oh, yeah. Then once he like got to that, he was like, there it is. It's like you've met your goal. And he was like, oh, man, I was just... You know, it's a lot easier for me to do it 5 pounds.
I think the whole thing was him being like, why did you not tell me like to lose the 100 pounds?
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. He was like, when you break it down, you know, you were supposed to like give this. I wanted you to tell it because I felt like you told it.
At some point, Charles Barkley, well, not at some point, still kind of is, but. At some point, Charles Barkley, in his playing years, was, I don't know if it was 100 pounds.
Right.
But he was. It was like 30 or 40 pounds overweight. And instead of his coach telling him to lose 40 pounds, yeah. He would say, you need to lose 5 pounds this week. And then he'd come back to him after that week, said, I lost 5 pounds. He'd go, okay, you need to lose 5 more. Then all of a sudden, you know, eventually... He was 40 pounds down and he said, like you just said, you know, why didn't you just tell me 40 pounds? And he was like, because 40 pounds is overwhelming, but 5 pounds a week, you got there, you know. So that's the whole point of the checkpoints is one, it keeps you motivated and two, it keeps you on track. A big thing with New Year's resolutions altogether is... They're motivating factors, and it's really difficult for humans to run off of motivation for a long amount of time. I think it's about like a month, 2 months. Usually people, well, the most popular New Year's resolution is to lose weight, which again is so very vague.
So I like that you said the thing about the motivation, because in the book that I have referenced quite a few times by Autumn Calabrese, which I'm almost done with the book, so I'm proud of myself, because that was another thing I was down on myself about. I bought the book 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and I had yet to get through it. And I'm about like 200 pages in, so I'm almost there. But one of the things she said was what you just said, was to run on like motivation alone is never going to be enough, because you're going to have the days where you're not motivated and you're going to have to dig deep. And that's why finding your why as to why you're in it, why you're trying to do these things is going to be important, because that's when you're going to have to tap into that. And so like for me, on the days that I'm not motivated, I have to remind myself, like, it's for my health. I have health issues that run in the family, diabetes, heart disease. I have to do it for those things. I have to do it for, you know, the pregnancy that we hope to have at some point. So that's my why. Not just because I want to, you know, be skinny and, you know, look cute and, you know, stun on them and all that. I have to do it for non, what is it, shallow reasons, I guess. But the most important thing is you have to do what works for you. And I know you have other things on your paper in front of you, but I want to add, by saying what, do what works for you, you and I have figured out that what works for you does not work for me. So it's important, well, especially you if you're in a relationship.
You haven't tried. You're unwilling to try.
Especially if you're in a relationship. Do not have your spouse project their bullshit on you if that does not work for you.
You can't call it bullshit if it works.
Nate, so we have a thing where, you know, that like when I'm in the on my groove and in my grind, that like, I like to weigh multiple times a week.
And well, that leads right into my, well, that's like down later in my list. But like you were saying, you like to weigh all the time. And of course, me watching you weigh all the time, I'll see you get excited when you're losing weight. And then you'll get down on yourself if a few days go by and you don't lose any weight. You get down on yourself. My thing, which I've told you a while ago, is to, instead of doing daily, getting on the scale all the time, to spread that out to like a week or even a month. So that way you can say, on this date, I'm going to get on the scale. And if I don't eat right, the scale's not going to look the way I want it to. If I'm not as active as I need to be, the scale's not going to look the way I want it to. So I have to do these things so that the scale gets there.
So there's a couple of things I want to add to that. You're more than a number on a scale. We all know that, right? But one of the things that I, well, a couple things. So the first thing I would say that I've learned is, if you are going to weigh daily, I do know it can take a toll if it goes up half a pound or whatever, or doesn't move at all. So one of the things that I've learned along the way is, they said that if you do weigh every day, to write down the numbers every day that you get on the scale, right? And then divide it by seven. So if you weigh every day for a week, you divide that number by seven, so you get an average. And then you can compare your average. So yeah, you may go down a pound, only a pound, which is still a healthy, you know, weight loss. But it's better than looking at that number and comparing it to a previous week and being like, oh my God, you know? So it actually works out better if you do it that way, and then you average it out. So you can see. Also, taking measurements, non-scale victories are even more important, because guess what? The scale might not be moving, but your pant sizes are going down. Your, you know, blouse sizes or shirt sizes are going down. Taking pictures is super important. And I've seen people take pictures even down to their feet and their hands, because when they compare them, they're like, oh my God, look how like my hands used to be so swollen, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. So that's also important, is taking those pictures, because even when I was not losing weight before, the last time I, for like the wedding, yeah, within 2 months, I saw a difference in my clothes just by, you know, comparing the same outfit. Like if you're going to put on the same sports bra, the same pants, same shirt, take the picture in that, and then in a month, do it in that same outfit. And then you'll be able to see the differences.
I agree with that, but I think that when it comes to health, because you could lose weight and still not be healthy.
Correct.
So I think that the weight loss should be a byproduct of other goals. If you make goals to be more active, right? And mm-hmm. you, instead of goals being anything about getting on the scale, but you make your goal, I'll share mine. My original goal after COVID was, I think my first one was to run a mile in 10 minutes or less,
mm-hmm.
right? I've gotten down to, I think I can do a mile in 8 minutes and 25 seconds. And I haven't ran a mile in a while because just yesterday I did 2.5 miles on the treadmill in 25 minutes. So instead of making weight goals, make activity goals, you know, time a mile. See how many, you know, how fast you can walk around the block. Then try and beat that time. How many push-ups can you do, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you're making goals, reaching those goals, reassessing them, and you know what I mean, keeping the carrot out there, the weight's going to fall off.
Right, I agree.
If your goal is to eat clean 3 and 4 times a week, you know what I mean? Are one of my good ones that I think really, really worked out for me, that I kind of turned it into a habit a few years ago. My New Year's resolution was once a week to eat something that didn't taste good.
I thought you were going to say that doesn't taste good.
Yeah, that doesn't taste good, but is really, really good for my body. And that New Year's resolution was groundbreaking for me, because before that, I had a really tough time associating food with like pleasure. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like I'm eating it because it tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality,
you said you had a hard time associating it. Clearly you didn't.
It's that was a few years ago. Uh-huh. Like, so there was foods to where, and you know how I am with food. There's certain things I'm really picky with, but it was difficult for me to eat things that didn't taste good.
I know now and you'll have smoothies and shit, yeah, and you're and like, I'm like, how's a smoothie? You're like, I don't know. I'm not drinking it for taste.
Exactly. Exactly. Like that's what kale's done. Kale's very, there's a lot of health benefits to kale.
A lot of health benefits. Yeah.
But I eat a whole lot of kale, not because it tastes good, but because it's good for my body. You know?
And yeah, you eat it like rough too, because you eat it in like salads and shit. Oh, yeah. Like I got to hide that shit in a smoothie.
Nope.
Ew. Nope,
straight up.
Yeah, no.
And I wouldn't say I love it, but it reminds me and puts me in that mindset of eating for nutrition. You know what I mean? And yeah. Not eating because it tastes good.
Yeah.
Because if you're only eating things that taste good, oh man.
I think it's important that people don't set too many goals. I think that's important. If you have too many, it's going to be hard to keep them.
Yeah. It's going to be hard to keep them, but if you can, my thing is to set goals so that they become habits. So if, like I was saying before, if your ultimate long-term goal is to lose weight and be healthy, if you have activity goals, if you have eating goals, right, and you turn those into habits to where by the time February and March gets around, you know, you've done it so much that you're just in the habit of doing it. Now you don't have to rely on motivation to continue to get you to your goals. It's a habit now.
One thing I would say is I know the benefits of, and I'm sure you've heard it and seen it, but water. It can be something as simple as drinking more water. And just, I am not a medical professional. Everyone's different. However, I believe that the average amount of water that a adult male should be having is eight ounce glasses, and a female is 9 8-ounce glasses, because women have more, you know, water retention and things like that than men. Now, if you can at least do half of your body weight in ounces, like, for example, if you're a 200-pound person, you should be doing roughly about 100 ounces of water per day. Yes, you know, you can overdo the water. However, a gallon.
I don't think you can.
You can.
The water for me personally. The water has been.
You can get water poisoning.
You can't get if you overdo it.
Well, but yes, the point of the.
You're doing somewhere around 100 ounces.
The difference is with water poisoning, it's not always necessarily how much water you drink, it's the time frame you do it. It's not just the amount. So if you did 100 ounces in an hour, you could get water poisoning. Yes, do you get what I'm saying? Yes. It should be over a duration of a day.
Yes.
So that's the point I'm making. Yeah. And of course, speak to your doctor and all that. But that's the point. Like, you could, you know, an average person can do a gallon of water per day.
Yeah.
But you need to spread it out. Don't do a gallon in an hour. Because you could get water poisoning. Because remember, there was that case where that woman died. She was on like a radio station trying to win a Wii for her son. And it was a water contest, and she died.
Yeah. Don't drink a gallon of water in 1 hour. Spread it out. But the benefits of drinking more water, there's countless benefits to it. One,
clear skin.
Yes, much clearer skin. My face has never looked as clear. And that's one of the things that you'll tell me sometimes is you're not drinking enough water. When I start to break out, that's how I know I'm not drinking enough water. My skin's a lot clearer. My hair is significantly healthier when I'm drinking a lot of water.
Your pee should be clear.
Yep. You get a lot more steps in because you're constantly going to the bathroom. And I just feel like it's getting all of the toxins.
Yeah, stuff like I feel less sluggish, and it makes me move.
Yeah.
As far as like when I don't feel sluggish, I have the motivation and the energy to do things.
Yeah,
you sleep better.
Yeah, and if your goal is to be more active and work out more, it's key. It's already
hydration.
It's hydration. Yeah, it's tough to just take your body from not working out to working out. But if you're not hydrating your body and you're trying to work out, it makes it double worse.
I think it's important.
It's like a double whammy. If you're not hydrated and not eating right and trying to push your body to do more,
I think it's important.
Less gas.
I think it's important to add that you can't outwork a bad diet.
Yeah,
because I think I said it before, but you know, they say like 80% of weight loss and healthy living is what you do in the kitchen. So, you know, one thing that I've done that I think is key is I wrote down a list of vegetables I actually like, and I wrote down a list of fruit that I actually actually like. See, the thing is, you may only have two vegetables that you can tolerate. You know, yes, you want to have a variety and all those things. But for starters, if you only like romaine lettuce and carrots and that's all you can really stomach, there's your vegetables. Do that for a little bit till you get tired of them. But start there. And then maybe when you're like, okay, I'm sick and tired of eating, you know, carrots and lettuce, add, you know, expand your horizons. Maybe there's vegetables you've never had that you can add to it.
And as I was saying before, it can't be, you have to find a way to separate what things taste like versus like why you should eat them. Like there's some things that do not taste good.
Oh God, yeah.
But your body, like your body should have them.
And pro tip, put it in like a Nutribullet or a blender or whatever you have and throw a banana in there. All you'll taste is the banana. Banana kills like everything in a smoothie.
Or you have to retrain your body to be able to eat things that don't taste good.
Yeah, you know? That sounds good. But
there was a time, you remember how we got off? Well, I got off of white rice. You still be doing a whole lot of white rice.
I'm Asian, so calm down.
So at some point we were trying to eat healthier and we were going to eat less white rice. And I think the first time I ever just had brown rice was with you, and I thought it was disgusting and I hated it. But somehow you came up with, I don't know how you got the suggestion of like weaning yourself off of white rice and into brown rice, mm-hmm. where you get white rice, or you do like half and half, mm-hmm. and then just slowly start adding more brown rice and less white rice, and boom, there you go. And now I'm at the point where I don't do rice at all. I do the cauliflower rice, and I love it.
You do rice still. Don't even play. Every now and you then. Literally just had rice when I made the black eyed peas.
But when I do my meal prepping, I don't.
Yeah, you're right. Else. And I do not like the cauliflower rice. I think the texture is weird. And again, I grew up on rice. I'm Jamaican and I'm Chinese, and rice is on both sides of my family, yeah. in most of the main dishes. So, and you do like wild rice and shit like that now, which is
for the
texture
last,
is weird for some people myself.
I've been doing the cauliflower rice. Oh, and I did the broccoli rice, which I thought was good as well. So.
Yeah, can't the relate texture, on that.
The texture to me is similar. Obviously, it doesn't taste like rice, but it's, you know, texture and something to put the other foods that I meal prep with on top of that. I actually started doing Brussels sprouts probably a few weeks ago. Kind of fell in love with Brussels sprouts. Never thought I would say that, but I've been roasting Brussels sprouts, and I love it.
Whoever is listening to this is probably like, okay, we get it. You like vegetables. Let's move on.
Not all vegetables.
But you're a pretty picky eater, so I'm actually proud of you. I'm
willing to try new vegetables, and that's what you got to be willing to do. Willing to try things and eat them, not because they taste good, but because they're good for you.
So, as I've told you, I've been listening to... I think his name is Drew Manning. He does the Fit to Fat to Fit experience. It used to be a show on A&E, I want to say. A&E, maybe? AMC? It was on one of those things. I think you can find some episodes on YouTube. But he did this like 10 years ago. And he is currently back in the swing of doing this again. So if you don't know what Fit to Fat to Fit is, it's where this personal trainer, he essentially stops working out, starts eating all the bad shit we all eat on the daily basis, the fried foods, the pizza, all the things, dairy, all of that. And he gains, you know, 40 to 60 pounds or whatever it is over a span of a few months. And the whole experiment was so that he could understand what his clients that he works with, in when he trains them, what they go through to get in shape and healthy, and why they struggle to meet their goals. So it was a genius idea. I don't know why you'd want to put your body through that, but I also appreciate the effort that he put into pretty much fucking his body up and trying to understand the mental side of working out and getting healthy. And also the eating aspect as well. So he currently, I've been listening to him on his podcast, and he decided he was, you know, turning 40 this month. I think he either just turned 40 a couple days ago, and he decided like 4 months ago that he was going to do this again, because, you know, people often say when you get to your 30s and your 40s and your 50s, it's harder to lose weight. And for whatever reason, he's decided to do this again to himself. And he, as of, I think, yesterday, the 28th, is officially, he's officially met his end date. And he is now able to start doing meditating, because see, that's what he said. He's like, to ease back into it, he's like, now I'm going to, you know, meditate. I'm going to go on leisure walks to get my mind right, because on January 4th, 2021, he's going to go full blown hard with the working out and everything. You can kind of follow his progress with that. And he's actually prompting people to join him on his journey, because a lot of people have those same goals, and they'll be able to see the workouts that he's doing and the meal plans that he's following, so people can lose weight along with him. So I thought it was interesting. I haven't, you know, gone on his website or anything like that, but I do follow him on Instagram, and I'm kind of, you know, following him along there and on the podcast. And so the reason I'm saying this is because you mentioned earlier about getting a leg up on the year and not waiting for 1/1/21, you know, to get here to start. So I personally kind of felt that I was getting ahead of the game. I felt like I was getting ahead of everyone else because I started a week, 2 weeks ago, and I already have like a lead on everyone else that is waiting for the first, right? And I think I've lost like, what, 4 pounds? I mean, not to minimize my successes, like, oh, it's just 4 pounds. Like, I've lost 4 pounds, and I'm proud of that. And as I said, it's just been leisure walks and just changing a few things in my diet and staying within my calories and not eating late and whatnot. But I just thought it was interesting that he's not starting till January 4th is the official kickoff date of when he's going to go full blown, full fledged in it. But he's, as of yesterday, is starting to meditate, and this is somebody that was like pretty ripped. So I'm like, the fact that his mindset is to like ease into it and get his mind right, and you know, I just thought that was very interesting.
I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that he's getting older. So he's more at risk for like soft tissue injuries and stuff like that. And I know that's been an issue for me in the past with like saying, oh, I'm going to get back in the weight room and I'm going to I'm going to start bench pressing and squatting and stuff like that. And then you just try and get back in the gym and doing those things. You haven't done it for years. Your body's aging. It's rough. And when you're, for me, my biggest shortcomings have been when I get in the gym, or I start working out, or I start running, and then boom, I get really sore. Or boom, now my, you know, my ankle hurts. I got a knee ache or something like that. So to combat that, I've put a lot more energy into stretching and warming up and recovery. So,
and taking the supplements and the joint stuff that you need to, because you are getting older. And I think it's interesting that you say that, because many a time people like myself are like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go hard. And then you get hurt And then now you don't work out for a month because you were hurt.
Exactly.
So it's important that you are stretching and you are not overextending yourself.
Yeah.
We all want to go from zero to 100 and you can't do that. Yeah. So you have to build on your workouts or it's going to set you way back.
Yep.
What else?
That's with everything. I know we're talking a lot about weight loss and working out and stuff, but if you have financial goals, it's the same thing. You know, if you come out and say, oh, I'm going to save, you know, $300 a month, but then, you know, you get a flat tire or something like that. And then you're down on yourself because you're like, man, I couldn't save that $300 because life happened. You know what I mean? So you kind of got to find ways to get around those things and prepare for recovery.
What up? Yeah. So I definitely recommend following along that journey. It might help motivate you. I know what motivates me because I'm like, hell, he's 60 pounds overweight. I want to lose about that much. So like it could be like an internal competition with him, you know?
Yeah.
Even though it's like one-sided, but he don't know.
I think that that your goals shouldn't be about the weight, mm-hmm. but if you did activity goals, mm-hmm. I think you'd get the weight off and it would be almost like the Charles Barkley thing.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't be so overwhelmed by it.
I've been walking more with you.
Yeah. But if you did it to where you were like, okay, my goal is to be able to run around the block without stopping.
Let's not get crazy. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm saying, if you made that a goal, right? Yeah. And then, you know, the first day you run and you get, you know, halfway around there, then you gotta walk the rest.
Yeah.
But you say, okay, next time I'm going to try and get it
to this mailbox.
Yeah.
That extra mailbox.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If your goals were not involving weight, but they were involving like tangible things to where you could see your progress and like build on your progress, I think it would be a lot less stressful for you.
I just want to add real quick to your running thing, just because it ties into your whole Walking Dead. And then, you know, there's an app called Zombies, that's plural, Run. And you can put the app on your phone and it will like prompt you as if a zombie is chasing you.
Yo.
Isn't that so fun? So
you just get up. Is it fun?
It is fun.
So you could be in a business meeting and you're like, oh.
Why would you turn it on when you're not actually running?
I don't know.
You're just
the way you said it is this app is on your phone.
You get randomly, no Negro. The app be like,
it's a zombie that's on you right now.
No, you log into the app when you're about, just like you would use like MyFitnessPal or whatever.
Okay.
So it like makes like it follows you in that way, like a MyFitnessPal type of thing, and it'll tell you like there's like a zombie. I think it vibrates, or if you have like headphones, it'll tell you like there's a zombie behind
there's
you.
There's a zombie approaching. Zombie approaching on
and
your
then
left.
You like run.
What if you trip and fall?
Then you're dead. You're
instead
an idiot.
Of them calling 911.
I hope they're like, your ass deserved it because you the dumbass that trips.
Is eating your leg right now because you are standing.
Yeah, still. I don't know what happens when you get caught because I downloaded this like a year ago and I have yet to use it. But it is on my phone. So if you're into that sort of thing, if you need that type of motivation, get the Zombies Run app. And that's my suggestion.
Do not turn it on while you're in a business.
What, I'm like, why would you do that? That's stupid. Anyway, what were you going to say?
I don't know.
Did I throw you off with the zombies?
Yes, you threw me off with the zombies. What was I saying?
I don't know if you don't know, sir.
Oh, I was talking about what I think you should do as far as with your fitness goals and why you should stay away from the scale. Some if you're lifting weights and building muscle, which is the best way to lose unwanted
weight. I already know where this is going and I'm not amused.
then sometimes the scale is going to go up even if you're doing the right things.
Which is why measurements come into play. And maybe speaking to the people that can afford it, get a scale that tells you, like what I have, your fat, water, bone mass, muscle mass. My scale actually even tells me my metabolic age. And according to my scale, I'm like 41.
Yeah, scales, I just don't feel like the scale is giving you information.
It gave me a lot of information
that motivates you to do
better. No, that's motivating, because a bitch don't need to be 41 when she's 34.
That's where we differ.
Yes, because I'm a woman and you're not.
But as I said before,
and you're 6'5" and all your stuff is all like spread out.
If all my stuff, what? So again, if you made activity goals, if you made, and even stretching, like that's how I came up with my stretching thing. With there was a point earlier this year where I could no longer touch my toes, and I thought that was a down moment for me. So one of the reasons why I started stretching a lot more is because that was one of my goals, is to be able to touch my toes again.
Have you been able to accomplish that?
Yes, I can touch my toes now.
Okay.
I'm a lot more limber.
All right. So what are your goals? Did you already tell me your goals for next year?
It could be
goals outside of weight loss, because I know we spend a lot of time talking. My mantra is, but did you die?
My mantra is lean and meaningful. Yes.
You want to expand on that?
Okay. Lean for, that's my fitness stuff. The lean part is going to keep me in the gym and make it a habit for me to work out at least 3 times a week. The meaningful part is to just make sure that the things that I'm doing in life have purpose, and that I take time to like smell the flowers. I'm a very big picture guy, and sometimes the details and enjoying the process kind of gets lost in the sauce. So I want to enjoy the process of me being healthier, and also lean is for my financial goals are all about saving for 2021
and beyond.
But 2021 is going to be a very big saving year for me.
Do you have any goals outside of that professionally?
I don't, but I got 2 days, right?
Yeah, you got 2 days.
I'll find some.
You know, I haven't really, because I'm asking you these questions, and I haven't really laid out anything for 2021, because I feel like what I'm doing right now will put those things in order. Because I feel that all like my successes will come from me getting my mind right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, 'cause once I get that straight, if that's even a thing that people can do, get their mind straight. I don't think we're ever there 100%, but if I can get it under control, mm-hmm. where I'm not so in my head then I feel like everything else will follow, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
My physical motivation, my mental motivation. I definitely am. I'm happy that we are recording tonight, because I definitely wanted to get another episode out before the end of the year. But I wish I had more of a plan for the podcast for 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something that kind of lingers in my brain as well.
Well, there's a New Year's resolution right there, is to create a plan and a path for where you want it. You are even a vision for where you see it going.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Start big picture and then fill in the details.
And, you know, I get really uncomfortable even saying that on the podcast. I try to be like transparent with everybody and kind of let people in, because I, as I said, this is a form of therapy. But I almost hate even saying that, because, you know, someone listening is like, why the hell would I listen to this? She doesn't even have her shit together. You know what I mean?
Nah. I don't think that. I think that you have a talent for this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a newly discovered talent for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't see where it's going.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to think big picture and say to yourself, where can it go?
Right.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. then just start to fill in the details and line things up.
Yeah, I think my thing is the fact that, because it's mixed babble, I want to bring in the different aspects. Like today we're talking about weight loss. Tomorrow I could be talking about, you know, the murder, that whatever. You know what I mean? Like yeah. things like that. Because, you know, I'm into true crime and things like that. But I'm just like, is someone tuning in to listen to that? The next episode is going to be about the products I like. Is, you know what I mean? So that's my issue.
That's the thing. When I think about other podcasts that I listen to,
mm-hmm.
I don't listen to them because of the things that they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to them because I enjoy the personalities
and
conversation that those people are having. You
know
what I mean?
Yeah, no, so, I completely agree. Yeah,
and most of the ones that I know you listen to, some, there's some podcasts that like they have a
niche.
Niche, and they kind of like stay in their lane.
Right.
Then there's other podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the Brilliant Idiots. And,
exactly. Yeah. To where they're all over the place
mm-hmm.
with topics and, you know, what.
Yeah, I love pop culture and things like that.
Exactly.
But it's hard to discuss pop culture by yourself. That's my thing. I'm sure a lot of people that have listened to any of these episodes can agree that I work really well when I'm with someone else and I'm having a conversation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the things that I want to do, like pop culture or things that are happening in the news, it's hard to do that when you're just speaking alone.
So do an open call for some guests.
Yeah. But how far is that going to go?
As far as you want it to go.
Yeah.
We can do it right now. If you're listening to this podcast and you would like to be a guest on Mixed Babble, write, give them the information.
MixedBabblePodcast@gmail.com.
Boom. What about the Instagram?
It's at Mixed Babble.
What's the fax number?
555. Isn't that the number that they use in like all movies? But yeah, no, I know there's been a handful of people that are interested, but COVID kind of fucked that up. But yeah, I don't know.
Did you ever discuss the inbox that you got
about what? About put me on?
Yeah. Have that person.
Yeah, on. No, no. So yeah, somebody reached out about being on the podcast, but all they said was put me on. And I was like, put you on what? And they were like, the podcast. I was like, excuse me, sir, ma'am.
I think you definitely have to have them on now.
I don't even know who, what, like their avatar wasn't even like, or default picture, whatever you guys call it these days, didn't even have a picture.
Put them on.
I'll be sure to reach out. I'll have my people call their people.
Put them on the podcast.
Anyway, what last words you got for 2020?
Oh, man. 2020.
I just want to say, because I can see you're thinking. I know I asked you a question and I'm cutting you off, so I apologize. Right. But the one thing I want to say to everyone, people have this really strange idea that midnight is going to hit and everything is going to be back to normal or better. 2021 is going to be at least for the first half of the year, just like 2020.
Yeah.
So, and especially if people don't stop doing stupid shit like gathering and not wearing masks and all of these things. Yeah. So please do not have this expectation that is unrealistic, because you're only going to get extremely disappointed.
Yeah. Yep. Especially when it comes to COVID, because people, I think the number, I can't remember it now, but I can't remember the exact numbers, but from, I think it's almost a month now that people have been getting the actual vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And at the rate that they're giving people the vaccine right now, it'll take a year to get enough people vaccinated for us to see some sense of normalcy if the vaccines do everything that the scientists expect them to do.
Okay, so I know we're trying to wrap this up because it's getting late, but I'm just thinking, like, I know this is going to be a very controversial, like, topic, because I'm not an anti-vaxxer or whatever the hell they call themselves, like, or I'm all for vaccinations, all for it. I would love for things to be eradicated. And I'm not just talking about COVID. I'm just talking about like measles, mumps,
smallpox,
you know, rubella, whatever the hell.
Yeah.
I'm all for the vaccinations. I get it. However, I'm not going to pretend that the COVID vaccine doesn't scare me. Because I'm just like, so what I'm going to need is for y'all to get it. And then I'll see how it pans out. And then I'll get it.
Yeah, it's a very scary thing, especially for Black people. Black people have a very complicated relationship with the medical field altogether.
What about the was it the Tuskegee?
Yeah,
experiment.
The Tuskegee experiment.
If you don't know what that is, look it up.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But Black people have a really, really strange, I wouldn't say strange. Yeah. It's a really difficult relationship that Black people have with the medical field in America altogether. 'Cause we've kind of been, we've kind of taken the brunt of all of the bad stuff. So,
I mean, African Americans and Hispanics have a higher rate of deaths when it comes to hospital care, or that they're treated differently. Yeah. I mean, look at Serena Williams and what she said when she was delivering her daughter.
Yeah.
You know, so I actually spoke to somebody just today that just had a procedure a couple weeks ago, probably about a month ago.
Yeah.
And she was saying that, you know, she thought she was going to die. She's a Black woman.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And she's young. She's young and didn't have any underlying conditions. And she said that, you know, she also works at a hospital. And she said she's seen how minorities are treated differently.
Yep.
So, and that's a known fact.
Yeah, it's back. I guess you can obviously you can go back further than this, but I did a post a few months ago, not even a few months ago, last month, about the Civil War, the Union soldiers in the Civil War that were black. More Union soldiers were killed because of disease than they were killed actually fighting the Confederates. And most of the stuff that they were killed by as far as disease were things that could have been treated at that time, but white Union doctors refused to treat them.
Wow.
So Union soldiers that were black, more of them died from disease than actually fighting.
In the war.
So you could make a legit argument that the Union Army killed more black soldiers than the Confederate Army.
Wow.
You know, so, and going, taking it from all the way back there to there's doctors right now, people who are doctors right now that learn from medical journals that had things in them that, I'm not doing like direct quotes, but had things in these medical journals that talked about black women having a higher
pain tolerance. For pain, you know,
simply by being black.
Did you see the they were saying it was like a black female doctor like a week or so ago or within the last few days died from COVID after she had posted on social media talking about how she's a doctor, talking about her treatment by, like, I guess nurses or doctors or whatnot. Yep. And this is all allegedly, because, I mean, I guess she did post about it, so that's a fact, I guess.
Yeah.
But she passed away after publicly going public about the fact that her care wasn't good.
Yeah.
So, you know, do with that information what you may.
Yeah.
And it's not the first.
Yeah, it's not the first. So, you know, black people have a really complicated relationship with the medical field altogether.
I was like, how do we get on that? But that's what you were saying.
Yeah, it's going to take a lot. And it's not at this point, it's past what people say is safe and things like that. But for the black community, I think we're going to have to see a lot of action and a lot of things. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just say it works. We're going to have to really see it work to really buy in.
What do you think? Because you're the news watcher. And maybe somebody that's listening to this doesn't watch the news as much as you do. Because I know I sure as hell don't.
Yeah.
Do you think, based on what you know, that you've heard and seen, do you think it's going to end up being mandatory for everyone to get it? Or can they mandate that?
At this point, I don't think you can mandate that for anything. Hell, there's people who aren't getting chickenpox vaccinations.
Yeah.
Or smallpox, measles, that was almost eradicated from the earth.
Yeah.
You know, but those things are coming back and now they're coming back stronger. And there's some that are going to be portions of measles and stuff like that where vaccines won't work for them anymore because it's going to return with like a stronger strain.
Virus.
Exactly. So,
which is so crazy because we've talked about this. The people that are, you know, anti-vaccinations for their children, which is so crazy in the sense that they themselves are vaccinated.
Oh my goodness.
They themselves are protected, but then they're not protecting their children.
That should be
neglect.
Again, and well,
would you go as far as neglect or no?
I don't think you can genuinely say I'm a non-vaxxer or like really believe that if you've gotten the vaccine. Like, if you got it.
But then they're, but they,
safe from it.
Yeah, but they, when they got it, they were most likely children, though. And they didn't have a choice in it. Their parents forced them to do it. But then my thing is, you're fine.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard some of the, like, outlier situations where somebody got it and then they ended up getting, like, some kind of, like, mental issue or whatever.
But that's the thing. Who's to say that you weren't going to get that anyways? There's never a direct
correlation. I think there's a link. I do think that it's like the one in a million that will get that one thing. Yeah. So I think there is a link to it. And I think that's the thing, is they don't want to risk that. Even though
one in a million?
I was just using an arbitrary number.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, 2020 is almost done. Yep. Are you excited for 2021? Or indifferent?
I wouldn't say excited, but I'm not gonna miss it at all. You know, it's been a real up and down year for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this year did bring clarity to my life. I think I'm a lot going forward, and right now I think I'm a lot more appreciative of the things that I do have and appreciative of the people that are in my life. And I think I appreciate my health a lot more. A lot more.
So in that same vein, can you tell me a peak of 2020 for you?
A peak of 2020 for me?
Mm-hmm. What's one good thing that came out of 2020 for you?
That I survived.
See? That brings me back to the if all you did was survive.
No, well, not just 2020 that I survived, but that I survived COVID altogether.
Yeah.
You know, there was a point to where and it, I don't think I've ever been at this point in my life before to where I was like, could this be it for me?
You were that sick? You felt that sick?
Yeah, like day two, day three, I was like, could this be it for me? And it was at the point to where...
You never shared that.
I think you would have really been freaked out.
You know what have really freaked me out?
What?
If I came in the room and you weren't alive.
Yes.
So.
But then you would have reason to freak out. I didn't want to give you a reason to freak
you
out.
You do shit like that a lot. You know that?
What?
Where you like keep things from me to not freak me out. You do that a lot.
Have you ever been around during one of your freakouts?
I would say yes.
I'm going to say no.
You think I'm not around when I freak out? I just have a outer body experience. What the fuck?
If you, which I'm 100% sure that me saying that in the moment while I was sick would have freaked you the hell out. If you're freaking out while I'm freaking out, nothing good comes out of that situation. Nothing good.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So.
This reminds me of when we were in that canoe and there was like gators and shit and you didn't tell me.
Yeah. Exactly what? That's exactly what's going on. If I.
You didn't allow me into your emotional canoe.
Yeah, and for the same reason that I didn't tell you about the alligators and the snakes when we were in the canoe. Because if I would have said, there's an alligator right there, you would have started freaking out. and made it, you would have found a way for us to get closer and more intimate with that alligator.
How? Why?
If I tell you it's an alligator on the left, you're going to try and go to the right as far as you can. Then the canoe tips over to the right. Water starts getting in the canoe. Now the alligator in the canoe, and he bringing all of his buddies.
Okay.
And now it's it's a whole nother issue, and the canoe is sinking.
You relax. So back to your emotional canoe that you didn't let me in.
Emotional canoe. There were threats outside of my emotional canoe, right? And even though you're in the canoe with me, I couldn't let you know that those threats were there so that you don't sink my canoe.
Yeah, I don't like that you don't tell me stuff like that.
You're a canoe sinker.
I am extremely offended.
Can't let you sink the canoe, babe.
So that's your peak, is that you survived COVID?
Yes, that's my peak.
That's really sad.
I think it really made me appreciate life and deal with kind of, you know, just the mortality of everything. It's so easy to say, oh, next year, next week, next month. I think ever since I've came back from that, I think I've been a lot more assertive with getting things done and not procrastinating and saying, oh, I'll get it done tomorrow. I'll get it done, you know, next week. You know, this, you know, we could be in another lockdown, you know, next week, you know.
I think Chloe has really appreciated 2020 because she gets a lot more loving and walks. I would say for me, I appreciated the stability of my career and that it's been resilient through a pandemic. So I am thankful for that. And that we, you know, still have a roof over our head and food in the refrigerator. And, you know, we haven't had anyone in our families, knock on wood. We haven't lost anyone this year to COVID. So I'm thankful for that. What would you say is the pit of 2020 for you? Same vein? Or can you think of something else?
Oh, man. I guess the pit has been... The pit this year has been...
You can't have too much
Facebook
dead air on here.
Facebook. There is, I rarely go on to Facebook because with Instagram, it's like pictures. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can look at the pictures. If you want, you can get the caption. But Facebook, for years, I felt this way, that Facebook is like people's thoughts. And Twitter, I think, is the same way, to where it's like people's thoughts. And sometimes there's people that you think you like, and there's people that you think are friends, and then you get to like hear their thoughts and their perspective on life, and you're like, I don't know if I want to.
I don't know if I like you.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to associate with people like that. And just going on Facebook, especially, and you know, it was a really tough climate this year with, you know, social injustice, with COVID.
Politics.
And, yeah, politics and all of these other things. And just hearing or reading some of the thoughts and perspectives from people, like, it's like, man, I valued that guy's opinion.
Well, the problem for you, I don't actually have this issue because you know, I block on follow with the quickness. Mm-hmm. I will shut that shit down real fast.
Yeah.
I think your issue is that you don't do those things. Typically.
Yeah.
Typically. It has to be something real crazy for you to delete or block somebody. I don't even know if you've ever blocked somebody.
I don't block people.
Yeah.
I don't want to give someone the satisfaction of being like, he ain't like when I said, so he blocked me.
Why do you care?
I don't care.
But as far as...
That's what I'm saying. I don't care enough to even block you.
So you'd rather see those thoughts and whatnot that you don't want to see?
That's the thing. That's why I don't do Facebook as much, if at all.
Yeah, you're like never on there.
Yeah, because I just... It's too in someone's head. I feel almost like I'm peeping in people's windows.
But they're letting you. They've opened the blinds.
I know, but still. Still, it's just too much for me. I don't want to know that much about people.
I know for like me, there's, you know, older family members that you know they didn't grow up around social media and being able to pretty much write whatever crosses their mind.
Yeah.
And so they go a little crazy with their posts. Especially when it comes to politics.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is not the place to be like showing you're crazy. You know? So that's actually typically why I don't have a lot of family on my social media, because I'm just like, you're terrifying me. Yeah. But anyway, let's start wrapping this up. What else you got? Is that it?
That's all for me.
So that was your pit was Facebook.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, this year has been pretty shitty altogether. So I don't have anything specific. It's been a shit show.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yep.
The shit has sprinkled throughout the year. So I don't really have anything specific that I could say is my pit. Not being able to travel as much. Feeling like I wasted my life.
Yeah.
You know? Being unmotivated. The list goes on. But we still have air in our lungs. So there's that.
Yes.
All right. You good?
I'm good.
You're wrapping up? So, guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode. Today, it's almost December 30th because it's almost midnight. So, we're coming to the end of 2020. I hope that if you're listening to this, your 2021 is exponentially better than 2020. And that you get to meet some of your goals. I would love to hear about some of the goals you've reached. Make sure to set realistic goals and, you know, make them somewhat challenging, but make them more importantly realistic so that when you crush them, you can feel accomplished. But till next year, I hope that you have health and happiness. And that 2021 is everything that you hope it would be.